Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 23 of The Drop Set. My name is Darren Starr. How y'all doing today? It is Wednesday, October 4th, 2017. We are officially in fall. Doesn't necessarily feel like it yet, except I swear it's like 20 degrees outside when I wake up in the morning. It's probably closer to 55, but I have a flair for the dramatic. What can I say? So we are broadcasting live on Facebook. Hi, Instagram. Hi. And recording this for posting later on the website at 5starphysique.com and also throw it up on iTunes and Google Play. So that being said, this will be, I'm going to try and make things a little bit more interactive today with the live audience. So those of you listening on the recorded version later, bear with me. But I'm going to try and solicit some feedback from people who are listening here. So be mindful of that. And hey, if you're listening to the recorded version and you want to interact, this will be, you know, Wednesday at 12:30 Eastern time. That is the regular time when we're doing this live broadcast. You can catch it by following me on Instagram at 5starfit or on Facebook, facebook.com/5starphysique. So we've got some ground to cover. Hey, everybody who is joining, Tina, April, Pat, how you doing, sir? Glad you could make it. So yeah, we got some topics to cover today. I'm going to recap the week. There's a lot to talk about there, actually. Got a myth, a little rant, and then two topics. So these are the things I'm going to go ahead and put out the call for interaction right now. So when we get to it, we're going to be talking about two specific things. We're going to be talking about motivation, and we're going to be talking about guilt, specifically as it is associated with food and fitness in general, specifically like when you don't do the stuff that you want to do, and you're, you know, you're a bad boy or a bad girl, and how you feel about that. So let's see. So we'll get to that later. So for right now, let's recap the week. So, I mean, my week, I've been staying really busy. So I've just been continuing to write plans, do client work, etc. It was a little slower on social media this week than I typically want to be. Just because, well, for a wide variety of reasons, I won't bore you with all of the gory details, but suffice to say I've been keeping busy, maybe spreading myself a little more thin than I would like to be, putting in some longer days, but I'm okay with that for the most part. So let's see. The website is continuing to get updated. Workout plans are getting posted, getting some good feedback on those as well. So, oh, hey, Kendall, how you doing? one thing that I've been working on, and you know, one thing that's crazy about social media is I don't consider myself to be very good at it. Like, I do a lot of it, but I don't necessarily get a whole lot of, you know, reaction or interaction. So when I see a handful of people here that are watching live, I'm like, hey, cool, that's awesome. One thing that I've started doing in the past few weeks, though, is I have some playlists that I'm putting together on Spotify. So if you are a Spotify user, go and search under 5-Star Physique, all one word, and you can see the public playlist that I have posted there. There's three of them, and you can get a little sense of what I'm listening to in the gym, and then you may be like, oh, this is awesome, or man, this dude is crazy. What the hell is he listening to? So it's a lot. I mean, I've got two playlists that are very much hard rock slash metal slash progressive oriented, and then there's one that I put together just for kicks, which is hair bands. So check them out. Check them out. I am going to be working on more of these. Again, I'm just playing to my strength. So if you want something that's like current stuff or hip hop or anything, you aren't going to get it from me because I don't know anything about that. I mean, I play in a band and, you know, we just do cover stuff, and somebody else in the band will suggest, hey, we should do blah current song. I'm like, I've never heard of that song, and I don't know who that artist is either. So, yeah. On lunch break. Hey, me too. I was on lunch break, at least, and I was stuffing my face before starting this, so that's actually why I'm a few minutes late. So so anyway, check me out on Spotify. Follow there. I'm going to be doing some playlists in the future that are like grunge-based, some more early 2000s stuff, some classic rock, like from the vinyl era, so you've got that to look forward to. I use that in finger quotes, look forward to. So one thing that happened this week on Monday is I did an unannounced live Q&A on Instagram, and I'll probably do that weekly going forward, maybe like Monday at 2 o'clock. Stay tuned for details on that. So what I'd like to do, Kendall grading papers on plan time. Good use of plan time. I like it. I think that's good. So what I like the Q&A because it's a chance when, you know, I'm not recording it, so I can, you know, focus less on keeping a constant audio flow going here for the podcast, which I have on this monitor to my left, and focus more just on interaction. So it was kind of cool. And since it was unannounced, I'm like, well, you know, I could just sit there like a dumbass for an hour. It ended up being an hour and not having anything to do. So I'm just going to go upstairs and like play the piano and practice some stuff. And if people happen to have questions, then great. And so I did a little bit of playing, a little bit of tinkering around, just some improv stuff, and answered questions in between, or did that in between answering questions. But I had some great questions. So I wanted to go over a few of the things that people talked about. One thing was somebody asked if I had my choice of five things with which to start a home gym, what would they be? And I'm really going to test myself because I didn't write down what my answers were, but I think I can remember them. So the first one, because I wasn't going to do a cop out and say, well, you need 45-pound plates, you need 25-pound plates, you need 10-pound, no. So the first one was a squat rack, an Olympic bar, and sufficient plates to where you can sufficiently challenge yourself on a deadlift, a squat, or a rack deadlift. So I specified a cage power rack style apparatus specifically so that you can, you know, it can be there to function as a spot. You can use it for rack deads. You can also bench in there with a spot as well. So that was one. Selectorized dumbbells was another one. Those get spendy, but you can find some used ones because, I mean, you know, if there's one area of merchandise where used stuff is always available, it's fitness equipment, because more people start and then give up something like that than just about anything else. I mean, fitness equipment and used guitars, it's never hard to find that stuff used. So then I said a really nice quality incline bench, because you will use that for a lot of stuff, including like step ups, back support for hip thrusts, etc. I did mention some way to incorporate some kind of pulling work. So I've seen squat racks that have some kind of cable pulley attached to them on the front so that you can load it up usually with some plates. And I mean, they're kind of, you know, a little non-standard. I've actually seen some people weld stuff together. So if you're really creative, you can work it. Or even, you know, if you go to like Play It Again Sports, oftentimes you can find a multi-station universal machine that would have like a row, a pull down, maybe even a leg press thrown in there or something like that. So that's an option. And then the fifth item was a leg extension machine, just because if we're going to do one thing that has, if we're going to get one piece of equipment that has just one single purpose, a leg extension is probably the thing to do it, just because when it comes to hammering the quads, there's simply no substitute for it. So somebody else asked about, you know, what's my take on going ass to grass on squats, like maximizing depth. And one of the cool things about the Q&A format was it allowed me to get up out of my chair a little bit and, you know, demonstrate, you know, depth and how it pertains to at least my morphology, because that's all I can really do. So it depends on, you know, the length of your lower leg to your upper leg, and then also just your general hip mobility as well. So all those things will have to be taken into account. And then, you know, certainly your overall skill. I mean, like, you know, getting deep on a squat can also be a skill. Certainly your body can be predisposed to having an easier time or a harder time getting maximum depth just based on how you're built. And your mobility can certainly make that easier or harder as well. But also it is something that you can typically improve over time. So it's not something where I say everybody has to achieve max depth, because I've seen plenty of people squat where they hit parallel. I'm like, you can't go lower than that. Please don't do it. So it's a very individual thing. Somebody asked about creatine. What are my thoughts on it? My thoughts on it are, I've covered this, you know, some time back. It's one of the very few supplements that you can get over the counter that is actually like clinically proven through multiple studies to actually be effective and do what it says. That being said, it's not going to instantly make you awesome by itself. It is the very definition of a supplement, where it'll give you a little boost, but I mean, you know, I only recommend it because of how cheap it is. Basically, you can get creatine for exceedingly cheap, and at that cost, yeah, it's worth it. Definitely. So we'll be doing another Q&A on Monday, I think. So stay tuned. I will post on that. I had the idea of throwing a cute name on it, something like Q&A at the Keys or something like that, since I'll probably stick with the piano as a secondary motif, just because I got to practice at some point or else my bandmates are going to get really pissed at me. So I mentioned also that I've been searching for a coach. So I've made some progress in that area. So I found a guy, and his name's Dave Kallick. So starting to work with him. And today I actually went shopping, and I'll be doing meal prep after this and getting started on what he wants me to do. So the real challenge here is, as a coach, I have a very specific and set way that I do things. Like, when I communicate with my clients, I'm very methodical and consistent about it. And, you know, the way I present plans, everything's in a spreadsheet, so it's all clearly laid out. It was clearly done by somebody who's really OCD and has an engineering background. So, you know, the foods are all listed there, the macros are all listed, the totals for the day, all the breakdowns. You know, the workouts are formatted specifically in a way so that it's, you know, nice and easy to read. If you want to print it out, it'll all go on one page. You know, the notes are all in there as far as, you know, places where you can log your weights. And so I put a lot of time into the formatting there, and I realize none of that's really essential, but I like to do it just because I like to go above and beyond. And I know that not everybody is like that. So part of it for me is embracing a different way of doing things, where focusing less on the foo-foo type stuff like that and more about the nuts and bolts. Here's a shit that you've got to do. Now go get it done. So It's difficult for me to do that, but I'm going to give it a shot and see how it goes. So I'll keep you posted. There's a lot of food involved here, so I know how this is going to feel. I've done it before. I can tell what the plan is. I mean, it's very high in protein. It's pretty high in dietary fat, and it's very moderate in carbs. I mean, there are certainly carbs in there, but it's not like, you know, 500 grams of carbs or anything like that. So, you know, I know just based on what I've done before, I'm going to feel very full. I'm going to feel a little bit tighter. Workouts are going to be great. And overall, I don't think the scale is going to move a whole lot, but I'm going to feel things tighten up over the next couple weeks. So we'll see how it goes. Patrick's asking, what are my goals? Am I planning on competition, or do I just want to dial in training? Yeah. You know, I've always been, you know, for the past couple years, I've been pretty adamant that I don't want to compete again. I'm starting to feel that, you know, maybe I should bend on that a little bit and maybe look at one. I don't know if next year is the answer, or maybe a couple years down the road. I don't feel, you know, it's funny for a guy who coaches people in competition prep, I don't feel a strong pull to compete myself necessarily. I like comparing myself against where I was a month ago, 6 months ago, a year ago. I don't really care about comparing myself to whoever's on my left or right up on stage, and I don't really care about what an arbitrary panel of judges thinks either. I don't find there's a lot of joy in show day. I think it's a lot of waiting. I think it's an immense hassle. I think it's terribly unorganized, and it's an expensive process to go through all that. So, all that being said, as a coach, you know, I work with competitors and non-competitors alike. I'm going to be the last guy that's going to convince anybody that they need to step up on stage. But that being said, you've got to be familiar with it. And I think, you know, coaching people through the process is all well and good, and I'm very comfortable with how it all works, et cetera. But I think getting myself just geared up to go through it again probably isn't a bad idea. So that'll be down the road at some point. So we had a myth this week that I wanted to touch on. So what I'm going to do actually is, because I was like, I don't know what kind of myths people are thinking about, so I'm always struggling to come up with a good topic for this. So I searched and I found some bodybuilding myths online that had already been answered. So what I'm going to do is offer some commentary on someone else's answer to a myth. So the myth, and this was from a site, Predator Nutrition, which I believe they're just a supplement shop, but they have some articles on there as well. So the myth was that you can shape your muscles to work, you know, inner chest, outer quad sweep, and peak your biceps. And they said basically false. And their reasoning was, you know, all muscles attach to bones via tendons. Muscle attachments do not move over time. So how do bodybuilders think they can do things such as peaking their biceps? And so what they're doing is they're saying you can't change the shape of your muscle. Which is incorrect. You can grow it, and therefore by growing it, it necessarily changes the shape. You cannot change insertion and origin points, and I think that's what they're really trying to get at here. So, you know, if you do a bicep flex like this, don't laugh. So the insertion point right here, for some people, their bicep's going to be a lot shorter, and so it's going to drop off much further away from the elbow. You get some people that have just crazy full biceps, and their insertion point is really close to the joint. So that is something that you absolutely cannot change. I mean, that is fixed. That is the way you're built, and that is your genetics. There is no amount of training or anything that you can do that's going to change that. But by thinking like you can't, you know, they're talking specifically about, you know, hitting things from different angles and hitting things with, you know, different grips. You can absolutely emphasize the portion of a muscle that gets worked and impact its shape. You can't impact its origin and insertion points, though. So I will label that one as half true if I'm going to be fact checking this myth here. So I also feel it's good to touch on, and I may just do this every week until this myth is eradicated from the planet. You cannot spot reduce fat. So I've been taking the YouTube videos that I've been uploading and segmenting them out, because they're all just like workout demonstration videos. I've been segmenting those out on my, Pinterest account. So like, you know, there's a pin board for back, a pin board for shoulders, pin board for legs, so that you can kind of get a little bit more organization in there. So I've been spending some time on Pinterest, and the amount of just absolute garbage BS that I see that is fitness related on Pinterest far surpasses the amount of BS that I see on any other social media platform, because they know who the target audience is. And it's, you know, they're looking for women who want to be told that they can spot reduce certain areas. And so, you know, you get all these little Pinterest things that are like, here's your flat tummy workout, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, God, oh, I'm going to have a brain aneurysm if I read one more stupid thing about this. So, no, you cannot spot reduce. Training your abs all the time is going to make your abs stronger. It's not going to make them more visible. That is your diet. That is your cardio. That is your body fat level. So, and you cannot say, I'm going to lose more fat around my midsection by doing X, Y, or Z. You cannot, you have no control over that. So stop thinking you can. And I don't know, maybe I'm going to start, whenever I see something like that, I'm going to report it as spam or something. I don't know. There's got to be a solution. Anyway, let's see. That was kind of a rant, but my real rant for this week is kind of a rant on a poor decision for me, but then also the gym that I go to, which, you know, Armor Gym in Knoxville, I love you. You're great. But that being said, man, your music really sucks more days than not. Some days I walk in there, and you know, that's the thing about music, is you can't make everybody happy all the time. So it's like this annoying dubstep hip hop where somebody's like saying the same thing over and over again, like 10 times in 8 seconds. And it sounds like a broken record. You all know what I'm talking about. It's like music that's specifically designed to annoy people. But I guess really it's like technically like dance music or whatever. I'd have no idea. It's not really music in a sense that I recognize. But it's so loud. And I go and I ask them to turn it down, and they do. And it's like, it's still so loud. I feel like such an old man at this point. Get off my lawn. Go away. Damn kids and your music. But I got these new headphones. I finally replaced my old Beats because they were falling apart at the seams, held together with electrical tape. The cable was fraying, etc. So I finally got some Bluetooth headphones, read some reviews on Amazon. I'm like, cool. All right. I get them. And man, they just put out nothing as far as volume is concerned. So they're the kind that clip over the ears and then they stick in. And I have them up all the way and I cannot hear my music over the shit that's blaring in the gym. So my rant is, apparently I didn't read enough reviews on those. They got high ratings, but and none of them said these headphones are quiet. So I need to go find something that's just loud as hell and just plan on making myself deaf, I guess. I don't know. Okay, so at this point, we're going to dive into the main topics for the week. How are we doing on time? Oh, we're doing great on time. Awesome. So we're going to talk about motivation. We're going to talk about guilt. So at this point, anybody that has any comments on this topic, comments or questions, share your story. Tell me something that we can use to further the discussion here. So motivation, like what have you found that works for you? What have you found, you know, do you find that you struggle with this? Is this something where you constantly need to continue to find ways to motivate yourself and to stay on track? Conversely, when it comes to guilt, share some of your stories there. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that are going to feel and sound very familiar when we you know, if you read these online and I'll read some of them here as well. I imagine there's going to be a lot of head nodding behind the scenes on people that are listening to this or watching it later. So just know that, you know, I mean, I'll tell you all my stories. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, this is like Planet Fitness. This is a judgment-free zone. And that is the only way in which this is like Planet Fitness. We don't have free pizza on Mondays or Tootsie Rolls at the counter or anything like that. But you can share anything. And, you know, chances are whatever you've dealt with, most other people that have tried to do anything remotely like this have experienced stuff like it. So let's talk about motivation. I think For me, I always try and encourage people to think about motivation, and you know, really, it comes down to what are your goals, and are your goals focused more on the long term or the short term? And I always tell people, think about that in the long term. And when I mean the long term, I mean like, what's your 10-year plan for your physique? Where do you want to go? And a lot of people get intimidated, like, I can't even think about where my body's going to be in 10 years. I don't know if I want to do this that long. Well, think about it. You know, I mean, just plan on it and then think about, you know, you've committed. So, I mean, you've got some kind of goal that goes that far out in the distance. Think about how hard you're working right now. And is that sustainable all the time for the next 10 years? Or do you have to kind of pick and choose your spots a little bit? Do you have to accept that sometimes, you know, you're going to go 100% and sometimes you're going to dial back, you're going to take a week off, you're going to take a month where you take more rest days, you're going to stop tracking your macros for a month or something like that, you know? When you think of it over the long term, that's okay. Now, if you compete and you decide you're going to take a month off right after your show, we've talked about this before, you know, how to get a really bad post-show rebound, that's a perfect recipe for that. So you've got to kind of pick and choose your spots a little bit. But having a really proper, and I wouldn't necessarily say it needs to be clearly defined, but some sort of goal where you can close your eyes in your head and have an idea of where you want to be. As long as that's something that's realistic, then great. That's helpful. That's really good. And then we can start to divide that up into shorter term goals. Like, I want to compete. You know, if you're a woman, like, well, you know, I don't have a lot of overall muscle development right now, but I want to compete. I want to get some stage experience. So I want to start in bikini. And then over the next 10 years, I'd like to graduate into figure and or physique, something like that. Great. That's a very good long-term goal. And then if you can throw into something like that, like, I want to get nationally qualified, I want to compete on a national stage or something like that for the experience. Just keep in mind, if you're trying to raise your profile, you want to compete at a national level, you want to be an IFBB pro or whatever, just realize what you're getting into there. Like, there's no money to be found in that. I just want to make sure we're very clear on that. So, you know, that's going to be a way for you to spend money, not a way to make money. So, just keep that in mind. Make sure you're realistic on what you expect out of this. And, you know, if you expect anything out of it other than just getting a better overall physique, then I think you need to reevaluate things. So Patrick says, gym partners who keep you accountable are huge for motivating him. Yeah, yeah. I would have disagreed with you on that until about a month ago when I started working out with a couple guys in the gym. And so now I'm like, yeah, I mean, you know, it's not like I need them. I mean, I'm going to go to the gym anyway, whether they're there or not. Usually I'm there before they are. You know, I'm there on their days off. You know, that's one of my weaknesses, that I don't take enough days off, which, you know, it sounds like, check me out, I don't take any days off. It is legitimately a weakness of mine. I have a hard time taking a day off, and I suffer because of that, or at least my overall long-term progress suffers a little bit because of that. What I do find is that when I'm working with somebody, especially if they, you know, if they are stronger than me in certain areas and I'm stronger than them in certain areas, you find that balance where you can really challenge each other and try to bring each other up. Then, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's much about accountability in a situation like that, but boy, it can really help make things a lot more effective. And, you know, if you're in one of those phases where you're like kind of going through the motions and you've got somebody who is there and, you know, can infuse a little bit of life into the situation and make the workouts more enjoyable, then yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And just make sure that you're trying to bring something to the table too. You know, maybe you just have to bring their post-workout shake for them or something. I don't know. Got to contribute in some way. Kendall says, stay on track better with a coach versus without. As a coach, I love to hear that. And also as currently a client for another coach, I can vouch for that as well. I do a pretty good job of keeping myself on track when I am my own coach. But when that's the case, I am also my own worst client. So, there are a couple people that might challenge me for that, but invariably I will always be my own worst client, just because, you know, you let yourself get away with this or that. You know, if you're accountable just to yourself, it's easy to let yourself get talked into other stuff too. So one of the reasons I wanted a coach of my own was, first of all, so that I don't have to worry about my own programming, because I have enough programming to worry about for all my clients. and also just, you know, somebody to report to, somebody to keep a watchful eye on me, because I have a tough time fairly evaluating my own progress picks and my own long-term progress. So I wanted to give that process over to somebody and say, here's where I want to be in 5 years. This is my long-term goal. Let's put together a roadmap and then map out what the next 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 24 weeks looks like in order to get there. So, Rose says, same thing, how to coach for accountability and to educate yourself for further and stayed on track much better than now. Yeah, I mean, that's common. So one thing that a good coach will do is actually coach and teach you. One thing that I don't want when I work with somebody is for them to feel like they have to continue staying with me in order to, you know, basically just maintain. Like, they feel like, oh, if I stop working with my coach, then suddenly I'm just going to stop doing all this stuff. I mean, I always try to reinforce that one of the reasons we do this, keeping in mind this is all voluntary, like, we certainly have things that we want to achieve and places that we want to go with our physique. But it's always voluntary. And I think accepting that challenge and turning this into, you know, I use the term hobby loosely, but, you know, for most people, you can say it's your lifestyle, but it ain't your lifestyle that actually, you know, it's you need something else to support this lifestyle, basically, for most people. So, I mean, effectively, we call it a very time-consuming and a very energy-consuming hobby. Effectively, but it's something that can really, I mean, it can shift how you approach everything else as well. So I think just having a good idea on why you're doing this is helpful. And then remind yourself of that regularly. I think a lot of us, when we're talking about motivation, social media can be really helpful or it can be really detrimental. And I hear from people all the time on both sides of that. Like, you know, I do follow all of my clients on Instagram. I don't really follow much of anybody else because I just want to make sure that whatever they post, I see. And I'm not getting everything clogged up with a whole bunch of other stuff that doesn't really concern me. So I keep my circle kind of small. But I see the stuff that they post and the stuff that they repost, and I see other people commenting on it. And a lot of this stuff is like, you know, motivational quotes. And I think a lot of that is useful to kind of get your head right and remind you of certain things. I know some people that rely on that more than they rely on oxygen. And I think that becomes dangerous. If you feel like you need some kind of quote to get your ass out of bed or to get you to the gym or to do cardio any day of the week, I would say maybe you need to reevaluate why you're doing this and come up with a stronger reason. You know, really focus on your why above all else. So, I think, you know, I always rely on things like that. I've often said that I consider myself, impervious to motivational quotes. I'm like, I can read them and like, I mean, I start to pick apart the graphic design of the meme. I'm like, why do they pick that color on top of that color? It's like the message of it just bounces off of me. It's like it doesn't register. And I consider that something to be probably something that was wired wrong in my brain. I don't know. But the words don't resonate with me. And sometimes I'm certainly not in something that's going to lead to action. Some of them can make me think about things a little bit differently. And then they kind of sit back in my brain and stew for a little bit and they kind of click and make sense. But as far as like, oh, that's what I needed. Okay, great. Now we'll hop on the elliptical. I know some people view those things like that. And I mean, no, you're going to hop on the elliptical or whatever and do your cardio because it is in line with your long-term goal that you feel very passionately about. So focus on your why. It always comes back to that long-term goal. Motivation also is something that you make. It's in you. It's not something that you go out looking for and find. So you generate it on your own. It's internal versus external motivation. Like, I want to do this for myself rather than I want to be like this person. So that's doing something for the wrong reason, I would say. Again, if it keeps you moving in the right direction and if it sustains you in the long term, who am I to say if it's the wrong reason or the right reason? So I think there are healthier approaches and that there are unhealthier approaches, but continuing to focus on long term, big picture, why are you doing this? You know, that's helpful. And then remind yourself of that. And then also one thing that I do, and this is one piece of motivational, one motivational tidbit I came across some time back that did kind of stick with me, actually. This got through the armor, and it actually hit my brain a little bit. So it was something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing here, with regards to hitting your goal, time is going to pass whether you're working towards it or not. So why not throw everything that you can into it and make that passage of time as effective as it can be? And so I think about that, you know, I think about, cause I've had certainly stretches in the past where I've gone 3 months, 4 months. I think the worst stretch I ever had was a year where, you know, I wasn't not doing anything, but I was doing everything kind of half-assed. You know, my workouts were suffering. My head wasn't in it just right. My diet was, I would say, average at best. And so I look back at that and I'm thinking, man, that was kind of a waste of time. So, you know, I look back at that and I constantly ask myself, like, why did that happen? And whenever something undesirable happens, like whether it's, you know, a bad week on your diet or whatever, I always tell people, just look back on it and think about, you know, why that happened. Try and troubleshoot it, because whatever it is, let's say, you know, circumstances come up and, you know, you're throwing a curveball on your schedule for a week and your diet gets blown to hell. And so, blah, okay, well, that's fine. Figure something like that will probably happen again. Now look back on it in retrospect and think about how you would handle it differently. So whenever you're dealing with adversity, always assume, and this is not to be pessimistic, but just to be thorough, always assume that something like that, some kind of challenge along those lines, is always going to come about and show its face to you again. How can you handle it? So do a little post-mortem on those kind of events afterwards. So, you know, my rough year that I had, which is about 3 years ago, and, you know, it's while I was doing this, you know, I was going through motions. I was working with clients. Clients were asking me what I'm doing. I'm like, well, you know, I'm kind of trying to, you know, find my footing a little bit on my own workouts. So, you know, I was in a little bit of a lull. And I think back about that time period pretty frequently. And, you know, I'm always trying to think about what happened there and what was the cause of that and then how I snapped out of it. So just doing a little bit of reflection like that can be really helpful. So where was I going with that? I think that was about the summary of that. So so motivation, the big thing is long-term goals. Focus on that. And then just remember, you know, like that's where I was going with it. That year passed and I just think about, you know, I want to avoid that again, because what could I have done with that time if I was really like dialed in on all points? And where would I be now in relation to where I am now if I had used that year more effectively? So you can do the same thing for shorter scales of time as well. So if it's a month, 6 months or whatever, you know, all that time is going to pass whether you're half-assing it or you're going hard. So just think about it and understand that, you know, the correct answer is not always that you have to go hard all the time, every day. We've talked about that in the past as well. So, all right. So switching gears, let's talk about guilt. I think we've all got our fair share of that we carry around. So once again, I'm soliciting any kind of comments, any kind of feedback from anybody out there in social media land that's listening to this live stream right now or watching this. Any kind of stories, experiences, anything. I'm going to take a dramatic pause here for our podcast listeners while I take a drink of water here. I'm sure that makes for thrilling listening. So, guilt is one of those things that is a monster that feeds itself. There's no other way to put it, really. So, why we do this, I don't know. I think about this a lot when I look at my dog. He's sitting over here right now, wishing that I would let him outside. Sorry, buddy. You're going to have to just hang in there on this. His ears going back, like he knows I'm talking about him. He feels guilty all the time. I mean, you can see it in his face, you know, ears back, you know, you can see it in his posture. Like he's been digging in the trash when I've been gone or something like that. And he knows I'm going to find it. And, you know, he has no poker face at all. So, as far as we are concerned as bodybuilders, what do we feel guilty about? So there are a handful of things. You know, if we miss a workout, if we miss a cardio session, if we miss a meal, or the big one, if we eat something, God forbid, that we're not supposed to. I can't tell you how many times per week, per day. I get something from a client and it's like I'm a priest and they're walking into the confessional booth and saying, "Forgive me, coach, I have sinned. Here are my, here's my itemized list of everything that I've done." And I just want to tell them, it's okay. I would like you to not do that, but it's okay. And the damage, you're doing more damage by feeling guilty about this and by carrying all this shame around with you for something that, let's be very clear, is not that important than any damage that was done from the act of actually doing it. So, and I say that's not that important. I'm talking like big picture global sense. Like there are people dying and starving all over the world. If you have, you know, a pint of ice cream that you're not supposed to, you know, nobody, you're not killing anybody there. You know, you're not necessarily helping your progress towards your goals, but let's be realistic. You know, it's not the same as if you'd killed somebody. So, I think part of it just, it's all about perspective, I think. And then some of it is just about avoiding it in the first place. But if you carry around this guilt, first of all, I mean, one of the biggest concerns that I have about this is, and let's just kind of narrow the conversation down here. And most of this is about food. So you can talk about feeling guilty for, you know, missing a workout or missing a cardio session. You know, I've got one client in particular I'm thinking of right now who I think is carrying around a lot of guilt because she keeps getting sick and missing workouts. And I'm here to tell you, it's okay. It's okay. So I understand the desire to want to get back in there, but, you know, you've got to just, you know, if your body's going to just be an asshole to you for a week or two, you just got to let it, you know, do what you can to kind of work through it, but you just got to kind of wait and bide your time until things clear up and, you know, it's out of your control. So, so let's narrow the conversation down to food a little bit. The big concern that I have is that bodybuilding is clearly something that focuses tremendously on food. And this is also something where if you let this focus go out of control, it can be a really, really unhealthy thing. So when somebody talks about feeling guilty about eating something, that's an immediate red flag that goes off in my head like, whoa, time out. We might need to look at this a little bit and have a little heart to heart about what's really important. And like, yes, certainly we want to be on point with things as best we can. But if falling off plan is going to, you know, cause you to beat yourself up a little bit, then we need to reevaluate some things. So maybe, you know, the rigidity of a meal plan is too much. Maybe if we go to something that's more macro-based and flexible, you can work in something that would normally make you feel guilty, but hey, it's part of the plan now, so we're cool, right? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, within reason, you know, the numbers matter, but still, it's a possibility. So I think, you know, I've worked with plenty of people who offer those confessionals all the time, and they always say, "I feel really bad about this," and I just want to give everybody a hug and say, "It's okay, it's okay." How do we deal with this now? So, for sake of avoiding some kind of serious disorder and doing damage to your body, let's just establish a rule right now that if you eat something, you can't uneat it. Like, it's in there. You're not gonna purge. That's not an option. We're just gonna take that off the table right now. And I mean, we'll just consider that the end of the discussion right there. So, so being that we can't uneat it, another thing that I don't think is good is for most people in most circumstances is to do what I call penance cardio, where, okay, you ate that. All right, here's your punishment now. You've got to go and do, you know, 30 more minutes on the stair mill for the next 3 days or something like that. I think that deepens the unhealthy relationship that people can have with food, and it puts you closer and closer towards the territory of developing an eating disorder, which is serious stuff and is one of the things that I'm always thinking about with clients who demonstrate some things like this. So, so penance cardio, I like to remove that from the equation, unless if you're 2 weeks out from your show and you have some kind of binge where you're having stuff you shouldn't, I'm probably going to throw your ass into some more cardio, just because at that point we really can't afford anything like that. So, and I realize, you know, I've been hired to do a job and that's get you on stage in the best shape possible. And I can't be there to smack food away from your face all the time. So sometimes we do have to react to that. I prefer to be a little bit more proactive than retroactive, unless we're trying to, you know, assess what happened, what led to the incident that then generated the guilt, and then how we can prevent that in the future from coming around. So sometimes it's just understanding, oh, it was circumstance X, Y, and Z that led to this, and then I ate this thing because I thought it would make me feel better, and now I feel like shit, and I feel really guilty, and I mean, that whoa. Sorry, Instagram. I got carried away. I slammed my desk and my phone dropped. So that is so unbelievably common. I mean, I know that just about anybody who's listening to this right now has been like, yep, that's me. I've done that. Yep, yep. I put myself in that category as well. I'm over it at this point. So part of it is just, you know, I don't want to say it's just not about giving an F at all. But some of it, maybe, is appropriate. Dean says, sorry for being late, but I'm hitting the nail on the head. I'm trying, man. I'm doing what I can. At this point, I'm like, you know, food is food, and I'm gonna hit my plan. And, you know, if I have a moment of weakness where I eat something that I'm maybe, you know, not supposed to, or I break my macros, or I go off plan, bad decision for sure, not helping in the long term, move on. I don't care. I'm not even going to bother to process that in my head. It's like, you know, it's the guilt that you would feel from that is not worth the space in your brain that it occupies, because it does nothing productive. And I think I've just gone through it enough that I realize that. So that being said, a lot of people then can take that too far and say, all right, well, cool. So I just don't care. So I'm going to mess up on my diet all the time and just not care because, you know, it doesn't matter. And that goes back to our motivation. What's the main thing on motivation, and the main point to remember is always maintain that focus on your long-term goals. So always be honest with yourself. So you want to, you know, basically, you know, to use the priest analogy again in the confessional booth, you want to forgive yourself immediately, but that doesn't excuse the behavior. So it doesn't make it okay that you did that. It's just, you know, we don't need to focus on it, but it is worth thinking about, especially if it's really important to you and you struggle with that guilt reflex that a lot of people have. Think about, why did that happen? You know, go back and replay the circumstances that led to that. So I think there's a lot of value to be said, a lot of value to be found in doing that and always being reflective. You know, I always tell people, you know, when we're, you know, bodybuilding is hard because there's all the stuff that you do in the gym, which, you know, we think of that as being physical, but it is so much more mental than anybody thinks. It's hard physically, to be sure, but I would say it's even harder mentally, just to keep things engaged, to keep yourself on task, to maintain the kind of focus you need mentally on all parts of your body that you're working, to always be trying to improve your execution on movements. It's hard stuff, sure. And then there's the food side of things, where it requires time, it requires dedication, it requires consistency, it requires a little bit of skill and knowledge. And then it's also, it can be emotionally very difficult. You know, I mean, you know, raise your hand out there, and, you know, guys and girls alike, if you have ever just sat down and cried for no reason about food. I think anybody that's gone through a 16-week prep has probably had a moment like that at some point. Or maybe I'm just exposing myself as a total softy here. I don't know. I mean, we all have our weak moments. You know, you're low carb. You know, your hormones are all out of whack. You get emotional. It happens. So, you know, I'm also the guy that will cry at dog food commercials. So no excuses for me. But it's okay to accept that emotional side of things. But I think guilt is one of those emotions that we do tend to carry around more than we should. So I prefer to replace that with a little bit of reflection, self-analysis, self-forgiveness, but then also being honest with yourself and saying, well, yeah, I did it and it's okay, but it doesn't really help. So how can I avoid that, you know, doing that thing in the future? So it's worth thinking about at least. So that's about all I had on the topic. So I don't know. Hopefully that helped a little bit. So we went over motivation, you know, internal versus external, finding it versus making it, and then focusing on that long-term goal, and then, you know, the guilt conversation as well. So lots of stuff for this week. Next week, more of the same, you bet. And then on Monday, we will plan on doing another live Q&A on Instagram. So I will post details about that once it gets closer, and we will, you know, bring some questions. And if not, you're going to listen to some really, really crappy piano improv while I wait for questions to show up. I'd like to spare everybody from that. So please bring your questions. So until next week, I'm checking out. Once again, my name is Darren. You can find me, website is 5starphysique.com, Instagram at 5starfit, Facebook.com/5starphysique, Spotify, 5starphysique, Pinterest, 5starphysique, probably something else. I don't remember at this point, but YouTube, there you go. Yeah. I think it's just Darren Star on YouTube. Once again, I think I've said before, I need to just write a script for this. So maybe a pre-recorded intro and outro every week so I can stop trying to improv it all the time. Anyway, thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it. I'll post these live broadcasts up on their respective social media platforms so that you can catch them later if you want. And until next week, be good.